Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And of course, the verses before that are dealing with church discipline and the authority of the church. Then when you hit verse number 19, watch this. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And so tonight I want to give a Bible study on group prayer meetings. And it's something that I've wanted to introduce. I knew there was coming a time where we were going to start praying together on a Wednesday night. I had to be ready for it. And so tonight I'm going to show you how, and we're going to look at the Bible, and we'll go through and use that, obviously, as our pattern. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Please use the study tonight. Strengthen us as your people, and Lord, teach us, and then help us, please, as we pray together as a family. Please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look there at verse here. It says, verse number 20, it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, in context, that's a prayer verse. That's never supposed to be used to justify staying out of church. Well, we had a Bible study, and where two or three are gathered, Jesus is here in the midst. That is wrong. This is a prayer verse. This is talking about where two or three are praying. Didn't the verse 19 talk about prayer? It's not talking about going to church or justifying staying out of church, okay? Now, you keep your Bible right there and listen closely. The Lord gave us many promises that He will answer prayer. Can you just listen? Ready? Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. And are you ready? There is nothing too hard for Thee. That encourages you, right? Look, listen to Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Matthew 7:11 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? If you being evil, if you enjoy Christmas time because it's your opportunity to give, then how much more does God enjoy giving you things when you ask for them? What a beautiful prayer. That's Matthew 7:11. Here's my freeloader verse. Are you ready? Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Jesus said, I died for you. What do you mean? Ask me. If I gave you my Son, I'll give you everything. Ask me. We have not because we ask not. Matthew 21:22. Here's a beautiful prayer verse. I'm only going to read a few more, but listen. And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Those are powerful prayer verses. Those are powerful prayer verses. Those encourage a Christian to say, you know what? You're right. I don't have because I haven't asked God, and I'm just going to go ahead and trust Him, and I'm going to depend on Him, and you start asking Him. Remember, prayer is asking. Just a few more. John 15:7. Here's more prayer promises. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. These promises are to God's children, those that are saved. Our text, Matthew 18, is a prayer promise, but it's for praying with someone or when you're in a group. Verse 19, I think you're still there. It says again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This is a prayer verse, And as far as, what's it mean to touch and agree? Okay, when I first got saved, I had the privilege of being around some wonderful Christians, but they used to use this verse all the time. See, God says touch and agree. So I'd go into the room in the barracks, and there was a bed there. And we would kneel down. He'd say, God says touch and agree. So I'd kneel on this side of the bed. John would kneel over there. We'd take hands and then we'd pray. And I found out that's not what that means. If you want to hold hands while you pray, that's fine. But you don't have to. It says, if any two of you shall touch and agree. That word agree means heart to heart. It means an emotional connection. And it's like I told you on Sunday. Do you know how hard it is to pray with somebody who will care about your prayer request like you do? That's exactly what that's talking about. If any two of you, when you pray, if two of you will emotionally touch and say, this is my prayer request and I need it, and it's not, okay, that's your prayer request, okay, then I have my prayer requests, okay? And no, he's talking about agreeing. That word agree is the key word. If two of you will touch and agree, not hold hands, but I care about your prayer requests and you care about mine. God says, then the promise kicks in. Finish the verse. Look at verse 19 there. It says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So tonight I wanted to take, and this is not an exhaustive Bible study, I just wanted to look at group prayer meetings in the Bible, and we're going to draw some conclusions from it, what happened when they prayed together in the Word of God. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 1, verse number 12. Acts chapter 1. This is the first group prayer meeting, I think, as far as in the New Testament. You say, well, they were gathered all in the upper room when Jesus was crucified. I know, but I'm not sure they were praying. I think they were scared. They just watched the Savior get crucified. I think they were anticipating Roman soldiers coming and getting them also. I don't know, but it doesn't say they were praying, and then Jesus appears in the midst. Here in Acts chapter 1, it says, verse number 12 says this, Jesus ascends to heaven, obviously, in 8 through 11. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey, or a tenth of a mile. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now, if I stop here, we're going to keep going here, but first of all, what does the word supplicate mean? It says these people are gathered together, Jesus has just went to heaven, and they're supplicating. If you look up the word supplicate in a good dictionary, this is what it says. To beg or pray humbly. It also means a formal petition for a person based on Scripture. So when you take the Bible and you say, Lord, so-and-so needs this, and you said that we're supposed to ask, you're using Scripture as a basis for your prayer. That is supplication. That is saying, God, you said in your Word. And many times I'll do that. I won't quote the whole Scripture, but I'll say, Lord, you said to ask. So we're asking. That's using Scripture as a grounds for your prayer. And that is humble. You put humility with that. That means to supplicate. The word supple means to rub over and over again, where we get the word supple and soft. Okay, I think the Scripture that they were holding to in verse 14, when they were in one accord in prayer, stay there at Acts chapter 1, but Luke 24:49 says this, Jesus told them, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I think that Scripture was in their mind. They had no Bible yet, but they were supplicating or praying with the words of Jesus in their mind. What words? You wait in Jerusalem until I give you my power. And they were praying. They prayed for how long? They prayed for 50 days. Okay, it's 40 days here. And then look at verse number 15. And these all, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So here's a first group prayer meeting in the Bible, and it's 120 people. 120 people in a room. I guess it was a big room. Okay? And they prayed, and they're praying for God's power. There's women and men in this room, the apostles, 120 people. There were 92 people here Sunday. So picture more people than were here Sunday in a room praying together for one thing, for God's power on their church, for God's power. The word accord is the same word agree. Okay, it says, when you look at Acts chapter 2, you're in Acts chapter 1, watch this, here's the result of the prayer, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Wow, okay, there's that word. The word accord means heart to heart. It means to agree. Remember, Matthew 18, if any of you shall touch on earth as agreeing, to agree means to what? Connect emotionally. So when they were all in the upper room and they were all connected, they were all unified in praying for the power of God, then the church was empowered. The day of Pentecost comes and they were empowered. Okay, that's Acts chapter 2. Then I want you to go to another prayer meeting. Watch this. Go to Acts chapter 4. Let's look at the next one. Acts chapter 4. We'll draw some conclusions from each one of these prayer meetings here, but if we use the New Testament as a pattern as far as for group prayer meetings, it is interesting. Watch this. Acts chapter 4, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but watch this. Look at verse number 1. It says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So let me get this straight. This group of people is in jail, okay, until the next day. That means they spent the night in jail. Then look at verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Then they questioned Peter. He preaches. And now skip on down to verse number. They send them home. And look at verse number, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And look at verse number 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with, there's that word, one accord. With one accord. So the next prayer meeting, the first prayer meeting in the book of Acts, is everybody praying together for God to empower the church. The next prayer meeting is because persecution breaks out. They're told not to teach or preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And when they heard this, they said, everybody, we need to pray. They drop one accord, and this is a beautiful passage. Listen to their prayer. Watch how they prayed. And said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen... He quotes at Psalm 2. He's getting ready to quote Psalm 2 for the next two verses. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Now, verse 27, they go back to praying, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Watch verse 29. Here's more of their prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant, here's the prayer request, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now verse number 30, we don't hold to, because remember, signs and wonders are things that only the apostles did to verify that what they were writing was Scripture. So, no problem. Still, I like verse number 29. Their prayer request is for boldness. Look at verse 31. And I love this. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Something happened. The first time, a mighty wind blew, right? In Acts chapter 2, the sound of a rushing mighty wind. The next time they prayed and they were with one accord, the place was shaken. I don't know what type of an earthquake it was, but it says when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And then, watch this, where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God. They didn't speak in tongues. They spake the Word of God with boldness. You know what the word boldness means? Look it up sometime. It's a beautiful word. It means freedom of speech. It means freedom. I can speak freely. I don't care what other people think, as far as I'm not hindered by everybody's opinion. I have freedom. I have freedom to speak what? The Word of God. Well, there may be Muslims in there, unbelievers, and you're going to offend somebody. If I have boldness to speak the Word of God, I don't care what the public opinion is. In this prayer meeting, here, the second one, the first one was for what? The power of God to come on the church, in their church. The second prayer meeting was for what? Dear God, you heard what they said. Behold their threatenings. They've told us to be quiet. I love this because it's a beautiful thought. Not one of these prayers is for, dear Lord, please don't let anything bad happen to us. Oh God, protect us. Lord, I know the people are wicked, but not one prayer of protection do you find. Lord, don't let none of us die, please. Lord, protect us. And Lord, you don't find that anywhere in the New Testament. You do find this. In eyes and in the pressure of persecution, dear God, help us not to cave. God, help us to keep going. Dear God, give us boldness to preach. Help us to keep going soul winning. You do find that. But you don't find, and I don't have any problem, before, whenever my wife's in the car and things, I always pray, and as far as, Lord, please watch over us and protect us and help the car to run well. I don't have a problem with that. But the New Testament Christians were not preoccupied with self-preservation. You understand? They weren't like, oh, I hope I make it tomorrow. They were like, dear God, help us preach. Dear God, help us to speak forth Your Word. And watch this, it says here, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. And, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Sounds like one accord, doesn't it? Sounds like they were agreeing. Watch this, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. I'm just going to take a side note. I wrote in my Bible, bickering and fighting and contention will kill a Spirit-filled church. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and hate somebody else. Let me put it to you this way. If there was anybody in the world that could come and sit down next to you right now and ruin your church service, you're not right with God. Well, I can handle anybody, but I'm telling you, if so-and-so comes in here, I'm going to lose it. Where's the forgiveness? You mean somebody could come in here and mess your evening up? I won't get anything else out of the sermon. You cannot have a Spirit-filled body and have bickering and griping going on. You can't do that. You can't have people fussing. Here they were with one body and one soul. They were in one accord to do what? Get the gospel out. They were focused on the purpose of God and the boldness. Just interesting. One more verse. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse 33. Here's the result of the prayer. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There's the answer to the prayer. So we've got, that's two prayer meetings, two group prayer meetings. Watch this. Go to now the second one. Look, Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. This one has a little humor in it, I think. course, we look back on it now and we laugh. But Acts chapter 12 says here, in verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, until you get down to verse number 12, Peter falls asleep in the prison, and people are praying for him back in, this is in the city of Jerusalem, people are praying all over the place, and the angel comes by. And you, if you haven't read the story, it's beautiful. Taps Peter on the shoulder, "Hey, follow me." And they go out, and Peter follows him through the prison, and when they finally get out to the big gate, it opens all by itself, and Peter goes out. Now look at verse number 12. And when he, Peter, had considered the thing, the gate opening by itself, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So through this chapter, they're doing what? They're praying for a man of God. Lord, one of them had just got their head cut off, and then Peter was being kept in jail. They had to go through the pagan holiday of Easter, and then Herod was going to cut his head off also. But God, what? Used an angel to help him escape. So here, they're all praying, "Lord, please." They're praying for Peter. "Lord, deliver him." They are praying here, "Lord," one of them just got their head cut off, "dear God, please, Peter, Lord, please help us and get involved in this situation." And look what happens, verse number 13, "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda." Okay, Rhoda in the Greek means ditz. Okay, you'll find that here in just a second. Watch this. I don't know that. I made that up, but watch this. Look at verse number 14. "And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate." So here's Peter knocking on the door, and Rhoda comes, and she goes, "Oh, it's Peter." She doesn't even open the gate. She doesn't even open the gate. She goes back to the prayer meeting. Peter's still on the outside going, "Where'd they get her?" "What do you mean, Rhoda? Open the stupid gate." Look at verse number 14. Verse 15. "And they said unto her," read verse 14. "And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate." Peter's outside. Verse 15. "And they said unto her, thou art mad." "But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it's his angel." "No, Peter's outside, guys. I saw him. I just saw him." And they're going, "Rhoda, what a ditz." Okay, then verse 16. "But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." So they all go, crying out loud, "Who's at the door?" It is Peter. So, wow, maybe Rhoda's not such a ditz here. Rhoda, why didn't you open the gate? Verse number 16, "But Peter continued knocking, and when they," the multitude that was praying, verse 17, "but he beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, go show these things unto James." Who is James? He's the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Why? Because here's one prayer meeting. Now he said, I need to go down to the church also, because they're in the house of Mary, right? I need to go tell the pastor there's another prayer meeting going on for Peter there also. Because that's what the end of the verse says. It says, "It brought them out of the prison, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren, and he departed and went into another place." So, here's a prayer meeting where they were praying for a man of God to be delivered from persecution, because someone had just got their head cut off. So the first one's about the power of God. The second prayer meeting is about, the second prayer meeting is for the boldness to go soul winning. And the third prayer meeting was for preservation for the man of God. Now let's look at the last one we'll look at tonight. Go to Luke 16. Go to Luke 16. I find this one of the most interesting group prayer meetings in the Bible. I realize each one of these has truths that we could have focused on tonight. I wanted to focus on a group prayer meeting and what is supposed to happen in a group prayer meeting. Okay, but Luke 16, look at verse number 23. Ready? Watch this. And in hell he lift up his eyes. This is the rich man. Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So the first thing they want in hell is relief. And the rich man, he prays that prayer. Then verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. He's saying, just one drop of water. Just one drop. It was sad, you know, I pulled up the MSNBC News thing, and they said, Michael Jackson's Thriller song is still selling, King of Pop. And they had a picture of him there, and I thought, he's in hell right now. He was Jehovah's Witness. He was very open about it. The moment he died of that drug overdose, he's been in hell for how many years? Writhing and screaming. Watch this. Verse number 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, I pray thee. What's the word prayer mean? It means asking, right? Prayer always means asking. So here's the prayer request of those in hell. I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The last group prayer meeting, and once again, there's more. There's more in the book of Acts. There's more prayer meetings. I'm ending with this one. This prayer meeting shows us that everybody in hell is, as they writhe and as they scream, is praying for what? This is the only prayer meeting of lost people in the Bible that you find that's praying for what? Us, the saved, that we would go to the lost so that they can get saved. Dear God, send somebody to my mom. Lord, please send somebody to my uncle. Lord, please. And that's all they do. I pray thee, send somebody. The last group meeting, prayer meeting in the Bible that we'll look at tonight is where lost people pray for us who are saved to get the gospel to their family. Because once they're in hell, they're there forever. There is no getting out. They cannot pass from hence. We just read that. Four group prayer meetings tonight. I put it on your prayer list. And now let me give you a few pointers on praying as in groups. Are you ready? Now that we've looked at some prayer meetings and the purpose of them, ready? Watch this. Number one, as we start to do this as a church, please look for new people and seek to include them. If we have a visitor in church on a Wednesday night, and let's say they're from a good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, they may be comfortable, but what do you do if they're a new convert and they've never prayed before? They don't need, when I'll say ladies over here, get in groups of three and four, men over here, they don't need to be left all alone because they're not going to initiate prayer if they're a new Christian, right? Maybe they got saved last week and they haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism yet, but they're here in church on a Wednesday. They're going to need somebody. Now, I'll target them, but I don't need to be the only one. Amen. Be on the lookout for new people, and make sure that you include them. Number two, if someone is new to prayer and is not used to praying in a group, always offer a way out so that they can just pray and listen. Well, do this is and when we break up into groups, I'll always say, I can pray first. Or I'll close in prayer. Why don't you start? And if I come to a new person, I'll say this. Would you like to pray or would you rather just listen? I always give them a way out. That way they don't feel pressured. I know one thing. When I got saved and I started coming to church, I needed to be around some older Christians that had prayed. And I learned by hearing the older men in the church pray. I had not heard that I had not heard somebody weep for the power of God. That was new. That was new. And so I got to learn from the older men and hearing the older men. So I always give that person, would you like to pray? Or would you like to just listen and, you know what I mean, pray quietly with us? Make sure you always give the new person a way out. Number three, when you're praying in a group, speak loud enough so everyone you're praying with you can hear you. You say, well, I'm not talking to them. I know, but how can they agree with you and emotionally touch if they can't hear you? I have no problem kneeling down and praying. But if you're praying like this, I can't understand what you're saying. Do you understand? So if I'm praying in a if I'm praying in a group, I want the person I'm praying with to hear me so that they can do what? Agree. Because I've been in some prayer groups where the person goes, oh, thank you. Speak up. You know, I can't hear you. Do you understand? And they're either doing that or we're all gathered here, like two are here and two are here, and we're gathered and they're praying in the opposite direction. And literally, you know, when you get old like me, you can't hear very well. So the purpose of praying in a group is to be heard together. So make sure you pray loud enough. And yet, I think if you pray in the direction where the group is, it helps. Next, be mindful of the time. Listen closely. If four people pray for 15 minutes, if each one of them prays for 15 minutes, that's an hour. I know we sang, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. But I promise you, by the time the fourth person gets to their 15 minutes, they've been listening for 45. I'll do this. I think a normal prayer time should go like this. When I say, ladies over here, men over here, break up into groups of three or four, we're going to take 15 minutes. Well, do the math with me, boys and girls. If three to four people pray for 15 minutes, that's roughly what? That's 4 to 5 minutes a person, right? Or that's probably 3 to 4 minutes a person. That means one person can't dominate the time if everybody's going to pray. So you got to keep that in mind, okay? That's why what I'll do is this. I'll hold up the prayer. I had the prayer thing was up here. The prayer list, I did have one. At any rate, I'll take the prayer list. You got an extra one? Is that an extra one, Brother Dorsey? I'll take the prayer list, and I'll say, if I got three in a prayer, or four, I'll say, would you pray for this section here? And then I'll break up the prayer list. Would you pray for those that are sick? Would you pray for the unspokens and for those with cancer? Would you pray for those? You see what I mean? Take a section of the prayer list, and that way, there's nothing wrong with double prayer. Don't pray that. Somebody already prayed for them. Yeah. Okay, that's not the worst thing in the world. However, I'll break up the prayer list with the group that I'm at. You know what I mean? Would see the ones on the back, those that need to be saved, salvations. Would you like to pray for those that the Lord will work in their heart? And break up the prayer list, okay? That way everybody kind of knows as far as in their area and as far as what they're praying. That sometimes helps. I think our prayer list will grow. This isn't as big as it'll be. Number next. Ready? I would be careful about young children praying. They need to listen and hear older people pray. You say, there's nothing in the Bible that says a 5-year-old can't pray. But I do like the statement, children should be seen and not heard. So I would have a tendency, if the older people in the church are going to, if we're going to teach our kids to pray, that normally probably until they're a teenager, until they're in the youth group, I would say, pray with us. Listen to us pray. You know what I mean? Don't doodle. But you understand? I would be careful about having little children pray. I think they should pray at home. But as far as when we pray in a group, okay? And realize there are some things you need to pray about in private. Okay? There are some things that should not be prayed for here at the church in a group. Okay? You thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus, but you don't confess your sins in a group prayer meeting. The man that taught me prayer, the man that taught me soul winning, he started his prayer every time, and it stuck with me. Sometimes it comes out. That's because I heard it so much. But every time we prayed, I didn't care if it was at the dinner table, or if it was in church, or if it was at the servicemen center, before we'd win souls, this was always his prayer. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin. I mean, that's how he started his prayer every time. Sometimes that'll come out. But all I'm telling you is you can thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for your precious blood that washes away our sin. But I would not go into public confession of sin. That's something that's to be done private. Lord, I ran that person over, but man, they ticked me off, Lord. And I'm sorry, but Lord, if you could just... And everybody is going, doo-doo. Be careful. There are some things that should not be prayed for in public. Do you understand? I don't think you should run anybody over, okay? Don't air your dirty laundry or anybody else's. Be careful about praying with people's needs, okay, when no one in your group knows them. I don't mind telling you about my dad. You understand? He had gallstones last night, and so would you pray for him? He's in a new realm in his life. But if you bring up, listen closely, if you bring up a whole bunch of people that nobody knows here, they don't go to church, nobody's ever met them, unless you have time to tell the details of them, the people you're praying with can't connect with you. Do you understand? Well, I know them from work, and I've known them for years. I know, but nobody else here does. That's why normally, when you give me a prayer request of people that are outside our church, and some of you do, I don't say, we don't pray for people that aren't members here. I just don't put them in the prayer bulletin. Do you understand? Because somebody's going to go through the prayer bulletin and they're going to go, who's that? I don't know them. So if you tell me somebody, you'll give it to me on a prayer list, and several of you have. It's somebody that you work with or is in your neighborhood. They've never been to church here. I do. I have the list in my office and I pray through those. But if none of us know them, okay, then normally I would not bring them. You understand? Because what's the purpose of praying together? Touching and agreeing. A heart or an emotional contact. I'm trying to emote with you. Do you understand? I'm trying to care about what you're praying about. And if I don't know the person, I'll be like, Lord, please help them. But if you give me a list of 15 people that I don't know, I'm going to disconnect. Do you understand? Well, you're ADD. Okay. Give me more Ritalin. Okay, ha, that was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. Just a thought. I'm trying to get you to think. Remember, prayer is asking. Don't be a thesaurus when you pray. Okay? Oh Lord, the Creator, the one who's made everything from nothing. Lord, the one who speaks things into existence. Didn't you just say that when you said the Creator? You understand? I'm trying. When you pray, don't be flowery. You understand? I'll use a thesaurus when I preach. Okay. Normally to drive a point home. But when you're praying with somebody, don't see how many times you can phrase the same thing. You understand? A different way. All right? And you say, well, and every once in a while I hear somebody do that. Don't use cliches. Lord, we know that you help them that help themselves. So, Lord, in this, okay, I don't think this is not sin. You understand? I'm not saying it's sinful. I'm saying I know a lot of people, they use nothing but cliches when they pray. And it literally, and I have this question. You mean every time you kneel down to pray and it's just you and the Lord, you give the Lord cliches? Did you hear what I just said? So what I'm trying to get you to do is when we pray together, I don't care what you think about my prayer. Do you understand? I do care that you understand what I'm praying about. I need you to pray with me, but I'm not trying to impress you. Do you understand? And I want the same way I pray in a group to be the way when I kneel down, and if you weren't here, that's how I pray. Do you understand? I'm not trying to impress, that just needs to be said. When you pray in a group, Scripture provides you with praying ground, but you don't have to quote Scripture before you make each request. Remember, we're praying, and prayer means asking. Just a few more points here. Listen closely. When we pray in a group, you can pray about current events, but don't inform everyone during your prayer about all the current events of the day. You understand? Lord, I saw on the news today how Donald Trump is leading again, and Lord, you know how... And then they go through the whole list of current events. And Lord, you know how they shut down the schools in L.A. because of that bomb threat, but New York ignored it. And Lord, you gave New York the wisdom, but... Okay, and then they go through all the current events. Be praying about the events. But in other words, the prayer time... See, some people are smiling because they've heard this before. If you've been in church a while, all I'm trying to let you do, I'd like the group prayer meeting to be enjoyable, and it's a time where you express your heart. But I don't want you leaving the prayer meeting going, wow, is that wordy? You know what I mean? We prayed together. That was the purpose of the whole thing. We prayed together. Just two more things here. Ready? I've already said this. I don't think you have to hold hands when you pray or hug. Okay? I don't think that. I'm not against that either. My wife and I, we hold hands when we pray, and I have no problem with that. Okay? But we'll pray in here, the ladies over here and the men over here. And finally, you need to know how to effectively quiet those that are disorderly. You say, what are you talking about? Well, what happens if sometime we say, okay, the ladies are going to meet over here, they'll meet in a group of three and four, and the men will meet over here. What happens if somebody's brand new and they've never been to church, our church, before, and you get somebody in your group, and it's their time to pray, and then they, oh, you know what I mean, and all that stuff, and they start, you need to learn how to quietly. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. You don't have to... You don't have to overreact. You need to learn to quiet. And every once in a while, you know, look, if we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're reaching people that don't know about church, every once in a while that may happen. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody pulls out their knife. Don't stop. Stop doing that. It's just you need to learn how to quietly quiet those that are disorderly. And if somebody does that, it's, we don't do that. Okay? You can do it in love. You can do it and not hate them while we're doing it. Okay? So, how do you pray in a prayer meeting? We learned tonight, we looked at four prayer meetings in the Bible where they prayed together. The first one was for the power of God. That's how come somebody tonight in the prayer meeting, somebody in the group ought to take that as a prayer request. Dear God, come in power this Sunday. And Lord, please work in the services. And Lord, convict. And Lord, if there is somebody here that's lost, show them their lost condition. And Lord, please do a work here on Sunday, Sunday morning. Lord, through the Sunday school teachers and through the preacher as he preaches, Lord, work in this place. Then somebody ought to be praying what? The next prayer request on the bulletin down there was what? What's Acts chapter 2, 4 teach us? Pray for boldness. Somebody in the group ought to say, Lord, please help us as we go soul winning on Saturday. As we knock on doors, dear God, give us boldness and help us, Lord, please, to reach people in this area. Give us boldness to speak the Word of God. Then somebody needs to take as a prayer request in the group, and somebody needs to take the third prayer request. I would covet your prayers. Pray for our preacher. Pray for the man of God. Dear God, please watch over him. Satan hates me. He knows to smite the shepherd is to scatter the sheep. You understand? No, I do need your prayers. I do. And I appreciate those who pray for me. But that's scriptural. There's three times in the Bible where Paul said, please pray for me that the utterance may be free, that I can have free course when I preach. Okay? And then what's the fourth thing? Everybody ought to be praying. Dear Lord, please help us as we go soul winning. Like what? They pray in hell. Please help them reach my family. Lord, this Saturday there's somebody out there. Please guide us as we go soul winning, as we knock on doors.